I feel like if the Goes Wrong show had a podcast, this would be it.
Greetings, Apple Posse. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
Oh, James. James. Fuck.
And Jenna.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure if the listeners would have noticed you were here or not. Yeah, Jenna's back, by the way.
And speaking of back, I can only imagine what it was like being where she's sitting for that moment from The Great Escape.
I did not slap anyone's ass. I just want to be clear. There is an opportunity. I did not take it.
I thought you cared.
Oh, you know better.
You knew what this was.
So what are we drinking?
Oh.
All right. So I actually brought this one.
Oh.
It is from a company called Lucky One. This is sweet tea and vodka, non-carbonated, canned cocktail type thing, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing, though. The Lucky One brand sells these as a part of the proceeds of these sales go to helping rescue dogs.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, vodka with real black tea, natural flavors, and artificial sweetener. 100 calories. But yeah, this company's whole goal is to help dogs find homes. So I was like, even if this sucks, it's still for a good cause.
Yeah.
So that's what we're drinking.
Okay.
Alley-oop.
Yep. Cheers.
So far, not bad.
Yeah. Oh.
Honestly. I actually really like that.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Not getting a canny flavor.
Mm-mm.
No. Like, I can taste the vodka, but it's not even bad.
Like, and yeah, I can taste the vodka, but it feels like it belongs there.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, other drinks where you're like, what are you doing?
It's got like vodka? The metallic fusel oil knack to it.
No, this is, this is solid.
Oh, my God.
Good
hell yeah.
Choice.
Damn. I am the lucky one.
Okay. Yeah. No.
No.
Full marks for Jenna.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jenna.
Yeah.
What you been up to?
Well, not podcasting.
I know.
Yeah. So last
you got lucky. You weren't here to have me talk about my junk for a while.
Look, you have. Listen to me talk about my junk.
I know. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we talk about my junk, you fuck off.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah. Turnabout would have been fair play. I'm just smoother than you are. Yeah.
Oh, no. I shaved.
Yeah, he actually can't go back to that barber shop.
Oh, God.
not allowed. Not allowed in that salon anymore.
Was it a straight edge? But no, I was gone last Monday because I was performing.
Ooh.
Last Monday I participated in Five Fifths of Fringe, which is their yearly fundraiser, one of their fundraisers. But this one is, it's a live theater play show thing where they take a movie And they split it into roughly fifths, five of them. That's how fifths work. And then, yeah. And then they give one fifth of this over to a different theater company. Each theater company gets a different fifth of the movie.
Right. And then they give the director a fifth of vodka and say, go to.
Yeah, basically.
Having directed before, I'm used to getting two fingers.
Yeah. I get this. So anyway, you're not wrong. So anyway,
oh no.
But no, so there were five different theater companies. Each one had a fifth, and each one produced. So the first company,
each one had a fifth, and then they got on stage.
And it's always a glorious time. Like last year, they did Labyrinth, and Phantom's Chorus had the last fifth with their puppetry, and their Hoggle was incredible. Like all of their puppets were great, but the Hoggle, like, also Mark did the voice for Hoggle perfectly, and it was just, it was so good. So yeah, this year the movie was 9 to 5. Which is weirdly feminist and still misses the mark all in one go.
Right.
It's there are so many good points that the movie makes, and then because times being what they were, like they just couldn't end it on the fuck the patriarchy note that we all wanted.
So every theater troupe got a little over an hour.
Yeah.
No, the feminine ones only got 73.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, that's funny in the darkest way. Oh, no.
Welcome to my life, bitch. So anyway, in fact, I'm leadership in the tech industry. I'm waking so much less than my male peers.
I'm just imagining that the other theater troops then explain your part of the play to you while you're doing it.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Oh, no.
I'm laughing because I don't want to run. I don't want my mascara to run. I think that's how that line goes. So anyway, the first fifth was a theater company, and two of these theater companies, I don't know the
names. They still are, but they used to be two.
Two of them I don't know the names of.
Oh, gotcha.
And so the first one was a company I don't know the the name of.
Fair.
But the company itself does what I call a lot of flashlight tech.
Oh.
Yeah, you understand exactly what I mean.
Is this isn't the same group that did Dungeon and the Wailing Show, is it?
No,
hit
I don't.
The light, not Hit the Lights.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Honestly.
Oh, okay.
Not, like, there are enough theater companies, especially in the Twin Cities, that do flashlight tech.
That's fair, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they did flashlight tech. Flashlight tech, by my definition, is the type of onstage tech or kind of more artistic re-envisionings of how technology can work within the space. And they did use actual tech, too, but they did have flashlights pointing in various places. They had a lot of freezes. As they were, because they had the opening bit, so it's basically an introduction to all of the characters, the relationships, right? So the one character would freeze, and another one would talk about how shitty this job is, or that, or the other, you know, all of this stuff. And it was basically the entire intro up to the song 9 to 5, which plays for the opening credits.
Yeah.
In the movie, and I was sitting there going, I wonder how many times I'm going to hear this song.
Oh.
Over the course of the night, the answer was 2.
Oh.
So
I was going to guess somewhere between 9 and 5.
6, 7.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Anyway, so yeah, they did their part, and it was fantastic. It was very well done. And then the second group was Songversations. Shannon Kusner Rhiannon, and as soon as they came up, I was like, "Ah, shit, we're gonna hear the song again." We did not, actually. I think they probably looked at the situation and went, "We're not gonna be the only ones singing 9 to 5."
Fair.
So, But they did do a bunch of other songs. It was very, you know, female power type thing. They also talked about each of the actresses.
Oh.
And their contributions to the movie and how they got hired and all of this. And it was actually very fascinating information.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So, yeah. And it was very good. It was very thematic, and it did kind of match the pacing of the movie itself, weirdly. And then the third group is the other theater company I did not know the name of. But they did meta theater, where one person comes in and is like, I thought we were doing Dead Poets Society. And he's just being a real asshole. And all the other performers are on stage, and he's being a dick to them. So they all decide to fuck with him. In ways that happen to be very similar to the ways that the boss was fucked with in the movie, right? So yeah, kind of that meta story.
They put him in bondage gear?
That was later.
Oh, okay.
I'll get to that. But okay. No, they poisoned his drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They did it as a gag, but like then it turns out he's actually allergic to something or whatever, right? Blah, 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 blah. So yeah, they went to hide. In the place where they had left him, they come back and there's a skeleton. And so they go to hide the skeleton body, and then the meta usher is like, "That, are you stealing the theater's props?"
Oh,
and they're like, "What?" And they're like, "No, that's the prop for the show that's happening here." And it was like, "Oh no, we were just moving it out of the way. We'll put it back when we're done." Kind of all of this stuff. They did a really good job of doing the show in a very meta.
I like the idea of having an usher as part of the.
Oh
yeah,
that usher did
that's
a really lot good. Of work.
That's one of the reasons I enjoy the Goes Wrong show so much is because the tech is part of the show. You know, like.
Yeah, that absolutely.
Fourth wall breaking,
you
know. Thing. Yeah. Yeah, love it.
So the fourth theater company was The Mess.
Oh.
The improv troupe that has
Mike
Fotis, James Rohn, Rita Bozen, like all of those people that have been doing improv for fucking ever.
Amazing.
And so they did... It wasn't strict improv, but like they did have an outline, and they were like, okay, so this part of the movie has three montages. We need to do three montages. And they all came out dressed as the boss character in the chains and everything.
Oh.
Which was hilarious. Like, that was their intro. The first one comes out, and it was like, this is what we're doing, and the second one comes out.
We're wearing the same thing. One of us is going to have to change.
Go change, yeah.
Yeah. So they were all in chains salsa.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, they improv went through all three montage-y scene things that happened during that portion. And then the fifth theater company was Mermaid Productions. That is the theater company of Ariel. She basically walked through the end of the story and kind of, it was a narration and a performance. She had people playing those parts. And then she was like, but here's the thing is that like, we get to the end of the movie and it's a happy ending, right? Because, you know, all of the women, you know, got away with it and the boss is being sent off to Brazil, but it's not a happy ending because he took the credit. He got the promotion. All of this stuff happened. We're supposed to think it's a happy ending, but it's just more of the same bullshit.
Right.
And she's like, and this is the type of thing that happens all the time. Men get credit for women's work. In fact, here to talk about that, and in comes a line of 30 women. Each of us has in our hands the name of a woman who invented something or had an idea, the man that got credit, and what all of that information was. There were so many. It took forever, but... There was a weird catharsis in every time one of us read our part and talked about the thing that the guy had stolen or gotten credit for. We'd get to the end of it, and everybody would boo. Like an entire theater of people just moving like, boo! Yeah.
Boo the queen of garbage!
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
So it was beautifully cathartic. But there were so many of us on that stage.
That's fucking great.
And then we sang 9 to 5.
Amazing.
And we got the audience to sing along with us, and there was clapping and dancing and stomping, and then done.
Delightful. Yeah.
So that's what I was doing last Monday. Yep. I'm sure I did other things too, but like that was the part that you were all staring at me for. So you know, did that.
All right. Also, so now that that's done, can we talk about my junk now?
I thought you already talked about your junk.
As per usual.
No, seriously, go ahead.
No, Joe was on vacation last week. He was off to KC. He did not bring me back barbecue. Fuck that guy.
Hell no.
He was on a plane. It's harder to.
Yeah, but and I mean
that's why you get a seat for the barbecue.
Not dating either anymore, so he's like not obligated to anymore.
I mean, he
so.
Wasn't obligated in the first point, but I mean he wouldn't have gotten sex for a while.
Exactly.
But that's just now. What
the way
it is.
The default setting. So, yeah.
I see your point that there's no punishment.
Exactly.
For not bringing me back. Barbecue.
Oh.
And the thing is that he went down for his mom's birthday.
Oh, God.
And they had barbecue for her birthday.
Oh, wow.
They had, the name of the restaurant, by the way, is Kansas City Joe's. Used to be Oklahoma Joe's. And this is the place that started off as barbecue that they sold out of the back of a gas station.
Hell yes.
And now the gas station is the restaurant. And people will line up for, they'll wait in line for like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to get this barbecue. Or you could do what Joe does and call ahead and place an order to be picked up.
Right. It's good thinking.
Why don't more people do that? They just got a bunch of barbecue, brought it back to his mom's house, and the entire family was there, and they ate barbecue and celebrated his mom.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's the way to do it.
And that means I spent an entire week not dealing with Joe. Well, I love my roommate, but it is sometimes nice to not have your roommate in the house for a week.
Yeah. Have the place to yourself.
Yeah.
Got some furniture rearranged.
Is that a euphemism?
I mean, I also got some furniture rearranged. But but no, there were things I wanted to do with the bedroom that not in with, but also in.
Around, near, through,
because and
above,
around,
beyond,
under,
into,
within,
before.
So anyway, no, because of how our living situation works, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I know it's weird to so many people, but it's not weird to us. We have a timeshare on a bed. I sleep in it overnight. He sleeps in it during the day because he works overnights and I work daytime.
Having a Jack Sprat sleeping situation.
Basically.
Yeah.
And it works great because why does that room need to be unused for half the day? can maintain the space and everything like that. But it does make it hard to do specific types of cleaning when there's always somebody in the bedroom.
Sure.
So, I did a bunch of bedroom cleaning stuff, and I did not get finished because I thought...
She made it dirty again.
Yeah. Ooh, no, I finished that many times. No, but I thought he was coming back...
Did you mop in here? I mean, after.
I thought he was coming back on Friday. He came back on Thursday, and I was like, son of a bitch, I didn't get through the other part that I wanted to get done with, so I don't know. some point, maybe I'll be able to finish the job. But in the meantime, I did make progress. You get that, James?
No. Emphatically not.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah.
And on. And on.
So then, on. Last weekend I played with my box. I did a bunch of yard work.
Oh.
Sure.
Trim the bushes.
Actually, though. remove them entirely.
Oh.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yep. Sure is. Mm-hmm. No, so... and I had my landlord's help.
Oh.
Yep. No, that just makes it weird.
Yeah, no, that's too far.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm going to roll it back into reality. So.
Okay, good.
Oh.
No, Saturday... I was determined to get a bunch of yard work done, and so I went out into the yard. The fence in between my house and my neighbor's house, there's a bunch of vines growing on it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But they consistently take over, and they have not been good for the fence.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's okay. I'll just tack some of those boards back in place, and it'll be fine. And I asked my landlord if that was okay for me to do. And he was like, yeah, but I think it's going to need more than that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll check it out. I'll let you know. So I get out there. And so, you know, it's a privacy fence. So it's all the flat planks up against the horizontal ones. And there's a top, a middle, and a bottom for structural purposes. Part of the top beam was... rotten out.
Yeah.
There was no place to tack.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at this mess, and I'd been outside for 5 minutes, and I had, like, an outdoor speaker, and I was playing my 70s tunes, and I was like, I'm gonna get something done today, goddammit. And I'm just looking at this, and there's a portion of the back fence that I do share with my landlord. It's about 5 feet. And so he just kind of poked his head around the corner. He's like, hey, you doing yard work? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you going to try to tackle this fence? I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's worse than you thought it is, isn't it? I'm like, sure is, buddy. He's like, would you like some help? I'm like, that'd be great. So, yeah, he actually came over and he took out all of the vines. We had talked about it.
Yeah.
And I was like...
sounds divine.
he took out all of the vines. And a section of the fence. Yeah. And yeah, we just kind of, it was cleaning out the overgrowth and the everything else. Cause I couldn't do anything with the yard last year and it just kind of got, so.
Yeah.
And while he was doing that, I was taking care of other yard things. Some overgrowth cleanup and, my personal favorite portion of stuff that I did. So I've got a bunch of hostas. Around the front of my house. Salsa, do you need any hostas?
No.
Okay.
We should ask Senpai. Senpai might need hostas.
Okay. No, I'm doing pretty well. But yeah, so these hostas are just planted around the edge, which is fine, but there's no... It's up against the wall. So I have a retaining wall, right? It goes up. It's like 5 feet tall. Like, come the zombie apocalypse. I'll be doing pretty all right.
At least until somebody needs to plug a cooler in.
Right, exactly.
Goddamn.
Ah, zombies in their cooler. No. So... what was I trying to say? So there's the edge of the retaining wall, and then the hostas are on the inside of that. And there's no, like, other border or anything, and a bunch of weeds will grow up along there because you can't really trim them when you're mowing the rest of the lawn and all the rest. Like, it was just icky. So, I got myself some, edgers, and I did some edging. Mm-hmm. And I like it. It's recycled rubber, but it looks like old railroad ties.
Sure.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Why, though? I was being eco-friendly. You're just gross.
Yep.
But yeah, so I got that, and I had a bunch of rock that I had rescued from someone who had gotten it from Duluth. And so I made kind of, I put the rocks down around the hostas with some, mm-hmm. some weed fabric to prevent the weeds from growing there, and put the edging around there.
Mm-hmm.
I edged my lawn. And yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks real sharp.
Like, it does.
It's very pretty. I like it.
You did do a nice job.
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah. And I did other things, but those are my main mm-hmm. three. So
cool.
And my body hurts because of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I also did a bunch of yard work.
Yeah.
I rebuilt part of our berry patch bed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got a deck in our backyard that butts directly up against the gazebo and the what we have turned into our berry patch.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the edge between the deck and the dirt was rotted out. Gone. There were 5x6 logs that were just putting.
They were just done.
They were putting.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, we've gotta
do something about this.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like honestly what happened is because the part of the edge of the bed is bare beams, and those are fine. But where it was up against the deck, they had used deck boards to clad those beams, so it flowed and looked like part of the deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, that meant it retained moisture.
Yeah.
Right.
And so everything that had been clad by this decking was rotted out. Mm-hmm. But everything that was away from that was fine. So we're like, oh, okay, so what we need to do is just take this out and replace it with bare beam.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, spent a couple days just digging out rotten wood and cleaning everything up and everything like that. And then we went to Home Depot and got some fucking 6x6 logs. God, they're fucking heavy.
I believe it.
Managed to get it situated in my wife's car. So we've got the one beam, a 10-foot beam. 8-foot beam. 8-foot? 10-foot beam.
Yeah.
Diagonally in her SUV. It managed to just fit, but only diagonally. Mm-hmm. So, right. Mm-hmm. The passenger seat, we had the seat back.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was like sit resting on that to the opposite mm-hmm. corner, mm-hmm. and I was in the third row, mm-hmm. like because that was the only other seat was the driver's seat in the third row in the passenger side. Those we have this giant fucking beam in there along with a couple other smaller beams, but yeah, just chopped those up and got them in there, and then proceeded to pound in. These foot long spikes, they're nails that are
foot fucking long.
Yeah, foot long, quarter inch nails.
Not 6 inches.
Nope.
No,
foot long.
What's up against?
My fucking shoulder hurt so bad by the time I was done hammering those in.
Yeah.
But it looks real fucking sharp back there now.
Yeah.
Hmm. So yeah, did a bunch of that. Did some cleaning up on the berry patch. We did some seating in the front yard where we had the tree taken out last fall.
Very nice.
I was outside and dirty a lot the past few days. And
I mean, that sounds kind of amazing.
It was awful because allergy season.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
It
fucking sucked.
I guess.
That was that. Other than that, I've been watching the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So, both the Wild and the Frost are in the playoffs.
I know. I'm so excited.
Wild.
I think Timberwolves are also... I know that's not hockey.
Yeah, but they're not hockey.
But,
so, who cares?
Right, but... just a crazy thing is happening. Yeah.
You know what that means? Go Vikings!
Oh, what? Why?
I don't.
The most reliable car I ever had never started. Let me tell
you. That's so good. Did I tell you when I was down in Kansas City visiting Joe's family at one point? And this was like the third Super Bowl that Kansas City won, right?
Oh, God.
So we're there. We're watching games leading up to the playoffs and everything. And they're like, hey, does Minnesota have a football team? And I was like, yep, we sure do. They're like, well, who is it? And I'm like, the Vikings. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh, man. I'm
condolences.
So sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have they ever won a Super Bowl? No, they have not. And they were not saying it to be mean.
Right.
They were just, yep. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, playoffs.
Mm.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
It is deeply exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll see how it goes. The first series the Wild played against the Stars was going to be a nail biter, and it was, but it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this next series against the Avalanche is going to be. It's not. Gonna, we'll see. So, in 2022 or 23, I can't remember which, the Boston Bruins broke records.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they finished the season with 135 points. They lost in an 82 game season, they lost 12 games.
Jesus.
That is, yeah, fucking insane.
That is a staggering number of wins.
And they were eliminated in the first round.
Oh, my God.
By Florida.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
So, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't remember. But about a dozen years ago or so, somebody is going to know this. The Patriots in football won every single game in the entire season, made it through all the way to the Super Bowl, and lost.
Yep. Yeah.
So... this series against the Avs is going to be, but it is not impossible.
It's not.
That is how I choose to look at this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be realistic. It's Minnesota.
Minnesota guys.
Yeah. Minnesota men's team. Yeah. I'm realistic about this. Look, choking is a thing that we do. But it's not impossible.
Oh, I get it now.
Hmm.
Anyway, continue.
Huh.
And then the Frost are also in the playoffs. They won their first game.
Yay! So,
yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
It would be so nice to have three in a row.
Part of me, like, I'm so torn on this.
It's a
Minnesota team, and I want to root for the home team, and I'm so fucking excited that they're winning, and I would love to see them win again, because holy shit, three-peat would be insane.
Yeah.
But also, it's like... let someone else win.
I believe there's a sport in which that's called a hat trick.
Right?
Let someone else. If I was a fan of any other team, I would be just like, let somebody else win.
Here's how I feel about it. They are going to not win the cup at some point, right? Like, that's going to happen. But I'm okay with them doing three in the row right out of the gate. And then maybe next year.
I just like...
like, it'd just be nice.
Like, the league added two teams this year, and they're expected to add, like, four more next year.
Nice.
And, like, how can you sell any city or owner on a team when nobody else wins but Minnesota? It's like, yeah, definitely. Come on in the
league. Feels like the one student with their hand up.
Yeah, do we have a chance?
I'd like to call on someone else this time.
Yeah, like, what's the point in trying here at fucking this point?
Goddamn.
I mean, well, the playoffs are going to play. Playoffs are going to do what the playoffs are going to do.
Yeah,
but,
that's fair. Yeah.
But so far, it's been exciting.
Off.
It's a lot of extra hockey.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's primarily what I've been doing is job hunting and gardening.
How are your balls?
They're they're good. They're fine. Okay. It's been an interesting healing process.
Yeah.
My scab finally came off, and now it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm back to being able to walk normally. And lift things.
Me too, friend.
So.
Me too.
Aww.
I don't know if you listened to last episode at all.
I think I started to, and then I got pulled into a meeting or something.
Yeah. Between now and 3 months from now, I need to...
Yes. Yeah, you need to jerk it.
So much.
Yeah. Nope. I remember that. The things that I remember about Bill's vasectomy is... he didn't own tighty whities, so
I almost had thought I thought I was going to have to buy some, and then I remembered my Fest underwear.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so he actually got boxer briefs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those worked fine for him. But he was like, "I'm a fat dude. I got rub." So yeah, and then he never went back. Honestly, like he went to boxer briefs and he was like, "Oh, this is great."
They really are the best.
Yeah. Mm. Lifts so and separates. I remember that specifically. I remember him being like, "Hey, I need to ejaculate a lot over the next few months."
So you'll probably want some privacy, huh? And
I'm like, I did buy him a bottle of lotion. His preferred kind.
Ooh. That's so thoughtful.
He was almost out, so I wanted to help. but then the other one was him coming home, and I was like, "So how was it?" And he was like, "Honestly, it smelled like burned hot dogs."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I did not smell anything.
Terrifying. Okay. You didn't smell.
But it was amusing that the doctor and I were talking about hockey while he was doing what he was doing.
Yes. I think I did hear about that a bit. So, well, I'm very happy for your balls.
Mm. As you were leaving, was the doctor like, "Keep your stick on the ice"?
No.
Oh, well. Mm. Well. Well.
So anyway, hey, James, what have you been up to?
Oh, I was doing some stuff in the garden.
Were you?
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. So, because I was extremely ill over what I had laid out to be the weekend that I was going to build the garden bed and put together the composter and lay out sheets of cardboard to, you know, murder the enormous swathes of weeds and stuff. I had to get started on that this last week. And, so the composter is built. It's quite handsome. It's apparently you don't have to, this model, you don't have to like rotate stuff. You don't have to tumble dry it. You don't have to do a bunch of stuff to it. You just open a little panel and compost comes out.
And
the thing I am least enthusiastic about is that it produces a high grade fertilizer tea in a container under the unit. All of the liquid ick pours into a tank that has a little beer tap on it. Yeah. And it is potent to the degree that they recommend mixing it 20-1 with water, diluting it 20-1 with water. So, ew.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, it's real exciting.
It's real gross.
Yeah, so that got built and placed, and the garden bed, the raised garden bed, was partially assembled I've been planning every time I'm like, okay, today's the day I'm going outside, I'm gonna put this thing together,
right?
Fucking all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs rides everywhere, everything has to be managed, everything has to be put together elsewhere,
right?
Yep.
Aftgoaglay something. Yeah. And, yeah. So I, they did. And I, it is partially assembled. And then we're going to fill it with the compost we already have.
Nice.
And then mulch. We're going to go to the local recycling center and just pick up a fuck ton of mulch. A metric fuck ton. It is a small garden bed.
Sure. Okay.
So we only need a metric one. Okay. So, yeah. And then vegetable. We're gonna plant some tomatoes and some squash and some snap peas probably.
I'm going to be planting herbs.
Ooh, that is also a good idea.
I've got a soft herb bed set aside, and a Mediterranean herb bed set aside. And I'm very hopeful for these two beds. I've put them in places that I think will be best for their needs.
You can tell they're Mediterranean herbs because they grow like this.
I mean, kind of. The other way
great
to...
Great visual jokes on this podcast.
I know, right? You can also... it's also called... Mediterranean would also be woody herbs.
Huh, yeah.
So things like your rosemary, your lavender, which I know not a lot of people eat, but I want fucking lavender in my yard, so I'm going to have some lavender, and that's... It's the same growing conditions, so thyme and all that.
Yeah.
Parsley,
some sage.
Yep.
Some Simon and Garfunkel.
No, some of the sage would be woody. The parsley is over in the soft herb area.
Yeah.
Parsley is very leafy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's going to be the soft herbs are your basil, your parsley, your chives.
Oregano.
Oregano. Yep.
I think our chives survived the winter. And
chives do really chives well in Minnesota.
It looks like an aloe plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a pot of chive in the front that we haven't replanted in years. It just comes back.
They're going
back.
Nuts out there.
It's already like...
Yeah. It looks like Bart Simpson's haircut. Yeah. Or I guess Maggie's. But anyway.
No. Chives do incredibly well in Minnesota. And the thing is that chives are one of my favorite herbs.
Same.
So, like, even if I fail at everything else, I know I'll have fresh chives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. And you just feel like a chef.
I know, right?
You make a dish, and then you're like, here's a plate of stuff. I'm going to sprinkle some chive on top of it, and now it's fancy.
Ooh la la.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and I have specific memories of so you know where the petting zoo is behind the fucking cottage?
Yeah.
That didn't used to be a petting zoo. It used to be a garden. We had an herb garden back there. And so,
way back in the day.
Growing up at Irish Cottage, we'd go to make our mashed potatoes. You got to have chives. So I would go out back and I would get some chives from the garden and we would use that directly in our parades.
They couldn't have a petting zoo back then because the dinosaurs were too bitey.
I hate you so much. You're a dick.
A little. Yeah, good.
She was using dinosaurs as household implements. It's a living.
God damn it. Actually, back then, I didn't have to get the chives. I could get the pterodactyl to go get them for me.
That's pretty good. Yeah, hold it by the legs.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
I hate you both so much. Fucking assholes.
It's a living.
But yeah, so chives has a very nostalgic feeling for me.
Nice. Yeah. Excellent. That was one of the few plants that we repeatedly grew with zero effort just outside the farmhouse.
Oh,
so
sure.
They were always on the way in the door, and so we were always like grabbing one to snack on as we were walking inside.
See, we had garlic and onions in our back garden growing up and wandering by and just grabbing a spring onion and chomping on it.
Crab apples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Yeah. I thought about it. I very specifically don't want food in my yard.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Also, I don't have enough yard.
Yeah.
For food in my yard. But herbs I can do. So
we've got the berry area. Herbs. We've got the front box is where a lot of the food is going to come from. And then my wife is building a box in the back that will eventually be for some other things. And we're going to probably do potato bags.
Nice.
And then long term, we'll build a herb rack that will go in one corner of the berry patch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Jenna, you and I are both thinking this. Yeah.
We're very bad people, James.
We are. Yeah. Yes. That's... Entirely. Yeah.
Is it going to be a nice rack?
Well, it's my wife's, of course.
Oh, no, that's fair. Absolutely. I
astounding.
I trust your wife's rack, mm-hmm. really.
So yeah. do I. Implicitly.
Where did I go just now?
I don't know. Should we take
How
a break?
How long have I been gone?
It kind of feels like we should take a break.
I think a break
yeah,
is probably...
I could use a break.
Yeah.
All
right. We're taking
Salsa needs right. 28 of them.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
James?
Yeah.
I think I've known you for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm truly starting to understand.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Like, this story has just illuminated so much for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad the audience isn't going to hear it. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Amazing.
I mean, we've had good conversation for, like, what, the past 15 minutes
yep.
now?
And they're not going to hear any of it.
Damn.
I know.
Sucks to be them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why you should be in the room when it happens.
Rumor happens. Rumor happens.
That wasn't an invitation. Don't show up, please.
Salsa doesn't even like us here.
No. But you know what I do like?
Hmm?
Trivia.
Ooh.
All right. Pop quiz. All right. I'm going to set the scene.
Pepsi. All right. Wait. Fuck.
The year
is
1907. The location? Of France. And all of the waiters?
Yeah.
They go on the strike.
Oh.
Ooh.
Why?
Oh my God.
Ooh, shit. Why would they all go on strike? Because they can't smoke while waiting. They have to take smoke breaks now.
Oh.
That is a really good guess.
No.
Oh, fuck.
They go on strike because they are no longer allowed to bring home free samples of butter and baguettes.
Oh. No.
Oh, okay. Is it... because... shit.
They go on strike because somebody was trying to mandate that they wear their stripes vertically.
Oh, you are so close. And by that, I mean no, not
oh,
close.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Fuck.
I was like, maybe it is a clothing thing. I wouldn't put it past the French.
The only other thing that I can think of is that... They had to be polite to the customers.
Oh.
It became mandatory that they were polite to the customers.
No.
Mm. Okay.
No, obviously.
Definitely
that
not
happen.
In France. Yeah.
Right. No.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead. No.
They went on strike to demand a full 2-hour lunch.
Ooh.
You were closer with your last one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They went on strike to demand a full 2-hour striped shirt.
It has to do with appearance.
Oh.
Were they told to shave their mustache?
Yes!
Oh, shit! Oh, my God! Oh!
That's an... Oh, wow.
In 1907, waiters all throughout France went on strike to be allowed to have a mustache.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Here's what...
Damn, I'm good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was very good. So here's what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this period of time, wearing a mustache...
Yeah.
Was a sign that you were a gentleman, basically.
Sure.
You were a of good breeding and a, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
You are able to maintain a stylishly coiffed
lip hair. Exactly. Okay. On the other hand, people like domestic servants and priests were not allowed to have a mustache. If you were a butler or a servant of some sort,
sure,
you must go clean shaven.
Okay.
Wild.
And so waiters were told, you are, this is the help. You must not wear that. And they were like, we are not domestic servants. We are waiters.
Yeah.
We demand the right to be able to wear the mustache.
Oh my God, that's so good!
Did it work?
It did.
Amazing.
Yes, they were successful. Now it was not only the mustache; they were also hoping to elevate waiters in general and have better pay and stuff like that.
Right.
But a major part of that was the right to wear a mustache as a waiter in France.
That's phenomenal.
So good. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, when banking on stereotypes comes true. Fuck.
I mean, my next guess was something about mimes, so yeah, yes.
Yeah, well, I already went with the stripes.
True.
That was my thing.
So yeah, reading.
Oh my God, that's very cool.
So, around the city at the time, high-end waiters were on strike to demand better pay, more time off, and the right to grow mustaches. Mustaches had been virtually ubiquitous among French men for decades, though many waiters, domestic servants, and priests were not allowed to have them. Ooh. Sentenced to forced shaving, as the newspaper La Lanterne put it.
Oh my God, I did
say it. Waiters finally fed up walked out of the fancy restaurants en masse, along with, by one contemporary intimates, roughly 25,000 francs a day in revenue. So, yeah. That's a thing that happened. Waiters went on strike to put on facial hair.
I love this for them.
That's so good.
Yep.
That is delightful.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the first recorded duel between two women.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, was technically over floral arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bigger story is that I believe it was like a countess and a princess or a duchess or something. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two different ranks of women, and whoever had the better standing would have been the one to do the floral arrangement. And there was just this big thing about who was hosting versus who had status versus all of this.
Complex algorithm.
Absolutely. This whole complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually about the flowers.
Yes. I am a countess, but my husband's second cousin's father is a duke, and therefore, like...
Yeah, it was actively about the status and who had the rights and it was for a very, very, it'd be like two designers fighting over who got to do the floral arrangements for like the Oscars.
Yeah,
sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like
status.
A small thing until you're like, oh, yeah. All right. But damn, I had another thing. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So they just stabbed each other.
So they stabbed each other. Can't remember. I don't even remember which one won. But It's a shame because I choreographed the staged fight.
That's where I've heard of this before.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I've done that.
They were topless.
They were.
And that's why I remembered it.
Yep. That's
why most people remember it. I'm a terrible human being.
You're a dude.
Yeah. I just said that.
But I repeat myself.
Yes. Yeah. I learned something fucking fascinating about dining in France.
Did you?
That especially Americans get charged a rudeness fee.
Ooh.
Because when they walk in, they're used to, you know, looking for the person who manages where people sit,
the maitre d'
or whatever person, then being like, table for two, we're in a rush, all of this stuff, could you seat us, is it okay if we sit outside, that kind of thing, and no.
That's no not how
part
this works.
Of that is okay. Okay. The first thing, according to a travel journal of people who live there, what you are supposed to do the moment that you walk in is say bonjour and
acknowledge them as a person.
Greet them because this is effectively their home, their house, right. In a way, and you are being invited in, and then you don't take a seat or decide where you will sit. Also, telling them that you're in a rush, then they're like, why are you sitting down for food? That's stupid and rude for you to push us.
Yes, go get some street food.
Right, exactly. And then, especially, the tourist trap places will have patio seating or, you know, dining outside, that kind of thing. Very few actually French restaurants for French people have outside dining for sit-down food of a kind.
Why would you want to eat outside?
But they have a different menu for being out on the patio than they have for being in the restaurant proper.
Okay.
And one, like, another big, big deal is do not get to-go food and bring it to a table.
Okay.
So you wouldn't, like, here, if you're at, like, a couple of different restaurants, they just have tables placed outside, and you'll go in, you'll get your food, you'll bring it outside, you'll sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that's extremely gauche, apparently, because you are then occupying a table where they would seat someone and get service fees and
have
the service menu and all of those things. Yeah. But just, like, every aspect of how we've been conditioned to dine in America is impropriety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In France, which is one of the reasons that we have this opinion of them being extremely rude, is because, in fact, we are being extraordinarily rude.
Oh, incredibly. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Which is, that's fucking fascinating to me.
I am not surprised by this in any way, shape, or form.
In fact, I
love this.
Yeah.
This makes me happy.
It's almost like they have a rich culture that has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years.
But,
and not just there for American tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Are you saying their country is older than 250 years?
Yeah, doesn't it just, like, it cracks me. Like, I was, when I lived in Switzerland, the house we lived in was built, like, before George Washington was born. Like, just like, oh, yeah, this house is this old. It's like, cool.
The Susie Izzard thing. Meanwhile, here in the United States, we've restored this building to how it looked over 50 years ago. No, surely not. No one was alive back then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It is such a... My first host father worked construction, and they were redoing the foundations of the Archbishop's residence in this town. And, like, I got to go downstairs in
look at the foundations of this building. Oh, and fantastic. It was just like, he's like, see this stone, touch this stone. I was like, okay. So I touched this stone. He's like, that was put there in like 1100.
Jesus.
That's fucking like, astounding.
Yeah. It
was just
holy shit.
Yeah.
Someone, oh my God.
It was just like, you're one of the first people to touch this in like 900 years.
So I had slowly weaned myself away from going to Reddit all the time. I do now occasionally sit down and intentionally read it for a short period of time. One of the ones that I go to, there's a subreddit called Female Living Spaces and one called Male Living Spaces. And I adore them both for very different reasons. But the Male Living Spaces are always, it's like a mattress on a floor with a TV in front of it and a pizza box with a GameCube on it.
Yep.
just an Xbox behind the TV, whatever. Yeah, it's grim. But one guy was like, yeah, all of my friends tell me that I'm an idiot and that I shouldn't store things in my basement. And then you're flipping through pictures of the house and then the basement. And someone's like, where in Italy do you live? He's like, oh, you know, kind of this, I'm not going to say exactly, but this, you know, this general area. And someone was like, you live where there are historic wine cellars and catacombs.
Uh-huh.
You have the coolest basement on the planet. And you've got it full of boxes.
Oh my God.
And like a disassembled pool table and a headboard.
Yeah, but
what the fuck are you thinking?
doesn't everybody have that?
Just like right. But yeah, just people going crazy over this guy's basement. It is legitimately
like vaulted brickwork and shit like that.
Yep. Exactly that. Yeah, vaulted brickwork and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Yep. And someone was like, why don't you live down there and put boxes upstairs?
Because it's cold and smelly and dark and dank. Right.
Yes,
that's why.
I mean,
there's a reason they stored wine bottles there is because wine bottles like it.
Okay, but if there were wine bottles down there, I would definitely live down there.
100%.
Let's be clear.
But then there wouldn't be any wine bottles down there.
Well, not for long.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a self-solving problem, really. Because then if you leave her down there, more wine bottles will appear. They'll just be empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is it is interesting, like those different whenever I come across the like, you know, cracked article about, you know, things that Americans don't understand about different countries,
right,
and vice versa, it's just, it's so eye-opening. Cuz it's like ice. Ice. Ice goes in everything in America. And I can't fucking stand it.
I don't like it.
I don't want ice.
In a lot of other countries, they believe that it is bad for your digestion.
But it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is. But
it is
also
so like the videos that you see of like the huge, like supersized McDonald's cup.
Yeah.
And like a little glass of water, but the supersized McDonald's cup is full of ice. So you take the little glass of water and pour it in and it's full.
Full. Yeah.
It's like it's wasting so much space.
Yeah.
Whenever my wife and I, whenever we stop at drive-thrus or anything like that, and they ask us what we want to drink, we say whatever it is we want to drink, no ice.
Yeah.
Cuz we don't we just don't want fucking ice and everything. Or we go to a restaurant, we just like...
As a Minnesotan, I feel this very deeply.
You know, every restaurant, they bring water to your table and it's full of ice. And it's just like, can we get some without ice, please?
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing is, in France, you ask for a carafe. You ask for a...
Yeah.
Because if you order water, they will bring you a bottle of water and... They will charge you each time.
Yes.
Right.
And the same with...
Like a Perrier
like
or something
like soda.
That. Yeah.
So if your kids drink three sodas, you might end up paying
Yeah.
$50-$60.
Oh yeah, the bottomless the bottomless thing is not
it's not a thing.
They don't do tap water.
No.
Because a lot of their cisterns are fucking Roman.
Right. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
But what was possibly wrong with the Roman?
Well, what did they ever do for us?
What have they done for us lately?
Aside from the aqueduct and the
But yeah, I love those because again, having lived in Europe, I can see both sides of those. It's there's so many things that we do in this country that are just baffling.
Yes. Like, I have a list.
Jenna has a list.
The list.
I'm not surprised.
The list would fill, like, the sides of three elephants because Americans will use anything rather than metric.
Beautiful. Well done.
God damn it. Loose leaf elephants?
I'm talking about African elephants with the bigger ears, man.
Ooh.
Like, yeah. Mm.
I prefer college ruled.
Wow.
Like Babar.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that happened.
Great.
Yes. Is your tummy okay?
My tummy's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I have discovered one, changing topics entirely, I have discovered one fascinating and delightful side effect of me not having a job right now.
Oh.
Is that I'm doing my first Renaissance Festival this coming weekend, and I don't have to drive home on Sunday night.
Oh, nice.
Where are you going to be?
Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's a 6-hour drive. And usually I got home at midnight. Year, I'll just come home Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
So, speaking of, does anybody else have anything to plug? I'm going to be in the Nebraska Renaissance Festival, by the way, this coming weekend in Bellevue Berry Farms in Omaha, Nebraska. The weekend after that, I'll be at the Janesville Renaissance Festival in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's a good place for it.
Yeah, it's going to be. We'll see about that one. Apparently, the storms damaged the site pretty bad. It's going to be like there was flooding.
Oh.
And it's in a park in like a low area right next to the river. So when the river floods, it floods. So we'll see. We'll find out. They say it's still going on, but things may be rearranged.
Interesting.
From where they were in past years.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
You ever been at a Renaissance Festival where a natural disaster has changed the topography of the...
No.
So, I do, in fact, it is not my thing that I am doing, but my spouse is taking part in an elaborate theater production that is in a mansion. The title of the play is Fefu and Her Friends. It is being put on by Theater Pro Rata. From May 11th to 28th at the, is it Searle? S-E-A-R-L-E mansion? So they can only take a certain number of people, very much like theater seats, but like a much smaller number of people.
Mm-hmm. More intimate.
Yes, yes, it is. So if you are interested in seeing, an absolutely phenomenal program, you should get your tickets early because they are already sold out on several dates.
Yeah.
Nice.
It is important to get in. I myself am going to be ushing as an usher in order to see the show.
To make sure you see it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, but it is witty, it is funny, it is sad, it is...
There's a bunch of good names in that particular show, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
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 My old roommate years ago, they did Hamlet at the James J. Hill House.
Oh, fascinating.
And it was really cool, but the same thing. It was like you only let a few people in because it's an old house and you want to be able to.
I mean, that too.
Not have 400 people.
People's butts brushing through against the wall.
Yeah. So.
Having heard bits and pieces of it being rehearsed, it seems like a fucking incredible show. Mm-hmm. So I wholeheartedly recommend. I'll be posting the little note card for the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you a save the date and not tell you anything more about it.
Cool.
June 20th.
Done.
All right. There we go.
All right.
I know I did things slightly out of order, but it was a good seg, so I went with it. But now, does anybody have any shout-outs?
Yeah, I do. Shout-outs to everybody who came to my spouse's birthday at Torg Brewing. It was a really wonderful afternoon of just, like, painting and things like that. But they are officially 35 now. And, right? I know. I too, am turning to dust as I speak. Yeah, it was a sublime experience at a really lovely brewery. You've talked about them before.
I've talked about it before. I'm glad you can finally see it.
Yeah. I like that place a lot. I've got two Torg beers in the other room, actually, right now.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
No, I don't have that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like pear cider.
I just don't have any partridges.
Ah.
Yeah.
I have a full ridge.
You have a half ridge?
He will later.
Oh.
Huh. Anyway. Yeah, that's
We're
my
shout weird.
Out.
Okay.
Thank you.
What about you, Salsa?
Let me think. I'm going to give my shout out to... I'm going to go back to the team who did my vasectomy. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean it was great. Very little pain. Minimal, you know, fuss and discomfort. Thank you.
Hey. Nice.
Give a shout out to my landlord.
Yeah.
Nice guy, just popping. Like, he's a great landlord and a great neighbor, all kind of rolled into one.
That's wonderful.
And he sees me doing yard work, and he pops his head around, and he's like, hey, you want any help? Like, it's just nice dude. We got to, as we were working on stuff in the yard, like, chat about 70s music and other just random neighborhood things. And
delightful.
Yeah. So, shout out to him. He's a good guy.
Awesome. Does anybody have anything else?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. If you would like to send in a Fast Five and have us do one of those, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Otherwise, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake. I don't know what you're doing over there, but that was a bad joke.
I love that so much.